So start off with 1.01, competent and diligent representation. Long story short, we have to be competent to handle the matters that are assigned to us, or for example, if a client comes to us with a matter. So I'm an education lawyer. I have no experience prosecuting or defending criminal law cases, but I have a friend who is a criminal. This is an example. All my friends are great people. But let's say this friend comes to me and says, Jaime, I've known you for years. I got a DUI and I don't trust any defense lawyer out there. I want to go to you because we've known each other since grade school. Please help me out. Now, again, I know nothing about criminal law besides the little I learned in criminal law in law school. You can argue that. But for example, I have a colleague who does have criminal prosecution experience and is familiar with defending and prosecuting criminal cases, obviously. So can I ask my colleague to assist me with that case? Well, the rules say you can, with the prior informed consent of the client who is associated in the matter, my colleague will be able to help me out. So that's one example. But in representing the client, in addition to being competent, you must not neglect a legal matter entrusted to you or frequently fail to carry out completely your obligations. We love rules as lawyers. We love definitions. Good thing is the rule clarifies that neglect means inattentiveness involving a conscious disregard for the responsibilities owed to a client or clients. Very important, technological competence is also required. So on February 26, 2019, a very recent Supreme Court of Texas order to amend Comment 8 to Rule 01 to include competence in technology. So pretty surprising, well, not really surprising, but a pretty eye-opening amendment to the comment. So the Supreme Court made clear that an attorney's ethical duties to competent representation includes us striving to not only become proficient in technology and become competent in technology, but to remain proficient and competent in technology. Now, I know when I was in high school, middle school, I didn't have a cell phone. There was no Facebook. There was computers. Obviously, I could email, but I would imagine maybe some of the lawyers who are older than me, even practicing longer than I have, they probably started off with typewriters, maybe word processing software started off, when they were in law school or when they first started practicing. So what this comment says to the Rule 1.01 is you have a duty to maintain competence with technological advances. So if some cell phones become out of style, if they become dead technology, whatever's next, I'm going to have a duty to become and remain competent in that new technology. So pretty interesting. The next rule we're going to cover, 1.03, communication. What does that mean in a nutshell? We must keep our client reasonably informed about the status of a matter and promptly comply with reasonable requests for information. Now, personally, keeping clients reasonably informed, to me, the easiest thing is picking up the phone and giving the client a call. That has always been the simplest for me. I think it also provides an opportunity to get to know the client a little better. You hear each other's voice. Luckily now there's even Zoom. You can see the client. The client can see you. I know a lot of people, it's kind of weird, right? We become a little used to texting. We become a little used to email. I know I catch myself doing that also. Well, I'll just shoot a text. I'll just shoot an email to the client. But I think it's easy for us to forget that we're like a service industry. So if we think about it from the client's perspective, they probably want to hear from us more so than they want to read our email or read our text. Now, again, that's kind of a generalization. I know that there are some clients who probably don't have time for a phone call and they may be in wanting to just read their text or read their emails because they're so busy. But I prefer the phone. And I think just aside from the ethical duty, it's just something that, benefits our client service, I believe. Again, keeping our clients reasonably informed, even easier than before. Far gone are the days of typewriters and beepers. Now we have emails, Zoom, and texting. Promptly responding to those requests, and we'll talk about that a little later, is also easier than before. And we'll talk about setting limits on that as well. So communication. But what about confidentiality? Very, very important. Our duty to maintain client confidentiality applies to both privilege and non-privilege information. This is the big one. This is the rule that probably we think about more often in our day-to-day practice, right? It also applies to current and former clients. Very, very important. And it protects information, as we'll see, in a variety of forms, not just written form.